Okay, friends, we are taking chapter number 9, compensation administration. Compensation is all about rewards, monetary as well as non-monetary rewards, which is given to the employee for the services that he renders to the organization. At one point of time, compensation term was not used, it was merely salary. You do your work for the purpose for which you are hired and you get paid at the end of the month. Some benefits were given and that was it. But when businesses became more complex, more competitive, the biggest challenge was how to retain people. Because one company offered X salary, another company offered X plus 50% in the same industry. So the competitor was able to attract people from the company A into B. Now this is something that actually made A look up and say that it should not be only salary, it should be something more than a salary which we need to give. So I am compensating you in different ways. I am creating feel good in you. I am rewarding you more than ordinary so that I stand out compared to my competitor. As a consequence, what happens? You prefer to stay in my company and add value to my company and to yourself. This is the philosophy behind a compensation administration topic which we are taking right now. The objectives are three: nature and importance of compensation we'll discuss, the various factors affecting compensation, different components of compensation, and the structure of the session will also follow the same direction: nature and importance of compensation, factors influencing compensation, the various components of compensation, followed by related reading and summary. So let's take it. Nature and importance of compensation. What is compensation? It's a total reward received by an employee in exchange for services performed by an organization. So I am coming to this organization, I am working, and when I work, I am giving my intellectual capital as also my muscle. And I am spending 8 hours on an average, and during these 8 hours I could have done something else outside. I would have got compensated for what I do outside, but I am coming here to work, and when I am rendering my services to you, to the organization, you are giving me back something in return, and that return, that what you are giving back is a reward for whatever I am doing for your company. In order to attract and then retain quality employees, organizations offer a compensation package, they call it, that is much more detailed than simple salary or wages. So it's a package. It comprises number of components. So they offer a package. That package has got a lot of attractiveness for people to retain themselves. New components like insurance, employee discounts, extended leaves and retirement programs are added into pay packages. These were all not there long, long back, but they are all become a part of our day-to-day functioning in an organization. Wages and salary requirements are usually agreed upon before the employee begins work and becomes the foundation of compensation package. Many of you who have gone for interviews, you'll realize that the interviews on your domain area, on your experience gets off very fast. But after that, what happens when the domain interviews are over, the final crunch comes when you're discussing the compensation with your prospective employer. Now this discussion which you have with the prospective employer can become extremely tough, and there are times when you are not getting what you want. The interview has almost come to 98% of almost confirmed that you're going to join the company. In the last 2%, crucial 2%, the talks fail because the compensation may not be to your liking. And so you don't join a company, right? So that becomes a foundation of the person's, you know, entry in the company and also his stay and his motivation. One part of this package guarantees pay when employee is on leave. Another provides for health insurance, retirement benefits, either lump sum or monthly basis, or contributions to mutual funds partly borne by the employees. In other words, this bullet point is telling us that the compensation comprises many, many things. Some of them are insurance based, some of them are retirement based, some of them are in terms of future savings. So these are things that the company provides to you on a culture to culture basis. Each company will have a different way of providing things to the people to make them feel good and make them feel motivated to stay there. Here we talk about fair compensation. Now fair compensation is something which is democratic, which is equally acceptable by majority of the people, which is realistic to the current situation of living, something which is fair. For example, if I give you 50 bucks per month or per day, it is not fair today in today's working. So it should be something little good enough wherein we can justify that this fair compensation is going to help the person to live a fairly good life. Now, this is very tricky. Now, it depends upon the individual taste, individual lifestyle, etc. Right? So, suffice it to say that fair compensation package retains the best talent, resulting in employees not wishing to switch over to another job, labor turnover is reduced. So, when I give a fair package, when I design a fair package and I disburse it to my employees, my labor turnover or attrition is reduced because the person feels that, yes, this is what I deserve. Now, there are companies which do not pay you very well as a take-home salary, but they give you other benefits. Now, if an employee is focusing himself only on the take-home, then he may not stay in that company. On the other hand, if the employee looks at retaining himself in the company for a long period of time, then he may look at the benefits. There are companies which do not pay a take-home package which is pretty attractive as compared to their competitors, but they give you other benefits. So those employees who are focused on the benefits and want to retain themselves for long term, they would rather prefer to work in that company. But there are again people who are wanting take home more than the benefits. So those are the people who will work when the take homes are high. And they will jump from place to place when the take homes keep getting higher and higher. They may not look at the benefits. It's one's own individual choice. Both have got their merits and demerits. Right? The organization can think of expansion and growth if it has support of skillful, talented and happy workforce. All the three are important. Skillful people who are willing to learn new skills, they have inbuilt talents and they are also very happy. Most important for me is there should be a happy workforce. People have to feel happy. I don't mind working for 12 hours and 14 hours in my company, but I should feel happy. I must feel that it's worth it. Now this feeling is coming from two areas. One is externally driven, the work conditions. Second is my own attitude. Now both of them have to match. If my attitude is not matching, even if the company is giving me excellent conditions, I will still not be happy. Okay? A sound compensation system is the hallmark of an organization's success and prosperity. The success and stability of an organization is measured with pay package it provides to its employees. So a very good organization is very keen on always looking at the compensation and revising it and making it much more employee friendly than its competitors. So there are organizations which really care. They take care of compensations in one form or the other so that the employees stay on with the company. It's a cultural thinking process that makes this thing happen. Now there are factors that influence the compensation. The compensation which I am paying in my company is influenced by a number of factors. And these are broadly categorized by internal factors, which are my company and within my industry, and external factors, which is outside the organization. Now, both these are impacting. Why are there two different factors? Because people come from society to work in my company. So there is something called a marketplace or a society from where the human resources are entering into our organization. Now, these human resources who come to our organization are also are subjected to our own organization's internal factors. So both these put together are going to weigh heavily on the compensation packages that we are offering. So let's take them one by one. External factors, labor market. Now what is a labor market? Labor market means outside in the society, there are people who are looking for jobs. There are skilled people. Now the number of people who are looking for jobs may be more, may be less, depending upon the time period and certain other cycles outside, economic cycles, the political situation, various factors are there. So there may be talented people available, but they may not be numbers. There may be numbers available, but there may not be talented. There may be both. So this is an external condition which is prevalent everywhere, right? Now, demand for and supply of labor influence wage and salary fixation. The second point talks about when supply exceeds demand, as in the case of unskilled workers, there are more number of unskilled workers available. And when they are available, I can afford to pay them low wages. But when the demand exceeds supply, highly skilled workers, highly skilled, highly talented workers, the number of people available who are highly skilled and talented are less. So then I have to attract them by giving them higher wages, higher salaries, right? So this is again an important factor to be considered, and that is the reason why we have fluctuating compensations as the demand and supply of the labor starts fluctuating. In case of unskilled labor, minimum wages as per local laws is a must to be paid. Unskilled workers are said to be contributing quite less to the organization. So when unskilled workers are taken in, they are protected by labor laws. They need to be given something which puts them into a basic living condition. It gives them the human dignity. It makes them feel good and actually makes them progress further. So unskilled people cannot be left high and dry, which used to be a case at one point of time, long, long back. Today, unskilled laborers are also given a good amount of protection, right? The presence or absence of labor trade unions often determines the amount of wages paid to the employees. Through the process of labor trade unions, collective bargaining takes place, and for the right reasons or the wrong reasons, wages and salaries have to be changed, right? So if you have a labor union or if you don't have a labor union, it is going to affect the way the compensation package is determined. Employers in non-unionized factories enjoy the freedom to fix wages and salaries. If an organization or a factory, a manufacturing unit does not have a union, then the employers play around and do anything that they feel like doing. If they are very good people, they are employee friendly, they may give good compensation. If they aren't, then they may deny them the compensation. In fact, in some factories, they even discourage the formation of union. Okay? Labor unions pressurize organizations to pay employees the legal minimum wage, and collectively they bargain for increase in the wages of the workers. Very evident, we all know about it. Thus, labor unions determine and revise pay scales of the workers in the organization. They act like a watchdog. They keep a check on whether everything is going on well. Are we getting the annual increments which is due? Is the compensation coming from the legal path? Is it in compliance with the various labor acts? So all that thing, they ensure that this is going on through their collective bargaining tactics. Next comes cost of living. Now, cost of living, this is a very important factor, especially during times of rising prices. Today, we are all going through this. Cost of living under these conditions reduces the real wage of the worker. What used to be costing, say, 5 rupees 10 years back is today costing maybe 50 rupees or 100 rupees. So, if I was paid a salary of, say, 1000 rupees 5 years back, today I need to be paid proportionately higher salary. This comes in the form of annual increment, by the way. This annual increment is a very abused aspect of compensation by many companies. Many companies feel that increment is given only for performance, but there is a basic minimum increment that needs to be given to people for the purpose of ensuring that the cost of living is taken care of. It is to correct for inflation or rising prices, so that the standard of living of the person doesn't go down. It is a thing that needs to be done mandatory, but companies don't do it, many of them, right? Cost care has to be exercised to ensure that while fixing wages, the cost of living is considered. We have to make the corrections accordingly and keep on revising the compensation package. A rise in the cost of living is sought to be compensated by payment of dearness allowance. Now, we have a particular component called dearness allowance, which is variable. This variable dearness allowance is added to the basic salary, basic plus DA we call it. So the DA, what does it do? The DA is it keeps on getting revised. In the last so many years, it has gone upwards, never gone downward. Okay, so the purpose of the DA variable component is to ensure that you are getting more money in your hand. More money today has got less value compared to the less money those days. Those days, less money had more value. Today, more money has got less value. So to ensure that you are getting all your standard of living taken care of, and at the minimum level, at a very basic level, the DA is revised from time to time. Normally, the DA is determined by a formula which is based on the cost of living index. So the cost of living has got a set index, just as we have Sensex, we have got the various indices like consumer price index. So we have a cost of living index and on the basis of it, the DA is determined through a certain calculation. External conditions that affect compensation, labor laws. Labor laws are passed to ensure that the workers are not exploited by the organizations and that they are paid their just dues. So when the labor laws gets modified, they get changed, obviously compensation gets affected. Labor laws, like, these are some of the labor laws which we need to know. Payment and Wages Act 1936, the Minimum Wages Act 1948, the Payment of Bonus Act 1965, Equal Remuneration Act 1976, and the Payment of Gratuity Act 1972, just to name a few. All these ensure that the payment of wages and other dues are paid by the employer to the workers. Labor officers, legal people, they ensure that these are all adhered to when the compensation is fixed and disbursed. If they aren't, then they raise the questions and they may resort to collective bargaining and ensure that they are getting what is due to them, the just due, as we have mentioned earlier. The acts safeguard the workers' rights, in short. Next, we talk about the society itself, external condition. Compensation or remuneration paid to employees is reflected in the prices fixed by the organization for its goods and services that are quoted to its customer. I am making some goods and I am selling it to society. I am pricing it at a certain price. Is the society able to afford to buy it? If they are affording to buy it, then I make profits. If they cannot afford to buy, then I do not make profits. Right? Now, people have to afford to buy my goods. When they afford to buy my goods, when will they afford to buy my goods? When I pay them the type of money which they can afford to buy. I means not my company alone. I am talking about industry. So when industry is able to pay people the money to afford to buy the goods, they will buy the goods. And the companies will also make more money out of the of making goods which are value added. Now this is a circle. So it's like the chicken and egg story. Right? So it's important to know whether people have more money to buy our goods. Are we paying them more so that they are having more money to buy goods? This is a thing that needs to be carefully understood and balanced. Society as a customer group which consumes these products and services is therefore interested in the compensation decisions of the organization. When I go to a shopping mall, I should be able to afford to buy whatever I want to buy. But where does the money come from? It comes from my employers who pay me. Now I may go and negotiate and get a good amount of money from a company where I'm working with. But all companies need to realize this. And they've got to ensure that there's a certain amount of parity, certain amount of balance between what they're paying and what people are affording to buy to maintain their standard of living. Next comes the economic conditions of the land, of the country. The state of economy also plays an important role in determination and fixation of wages and salaries. When the economy is in recession, it's down. Organizations cut down on the compensation of its employees. We know innumerable cases of this. Whereas when the economy is in the boom period or prosperity period, the organization will pay handsome compensations to its workers. They are supposed to do this. They are supposed to do the third point which is given here. But in many time, it has been noticed there is again an organization's culture which cuts down pays, cuts down jobs. But when the going is good, they take quite some time to take people back and also to increase wages. This is a noticeable phenomenon. A human failing of a culture of a company. It should not happen, but it is happening. Now we come to the internal factors. The internal factors involve business strategy, the company culture, the company's vision, etc., which determines what sort of compensation the company decides to pay for the different people who are working with them. The overall strategy which a company follows determines the compensation that it pays to its employees. If the strategy of the company is to achieve growth rapidly, the compensation will be higher than what its competitors could be paying. It's not only about growth, there are so many other factors. I would say the philosophy of thinking of the people at the top management level. If those people have thinking that yes, we need to retain people, we need quality, we need to be competitive, then they will open up their hearts and start making compensations which are attractive and competitive. Right? If the strategy is to maintain the current savings or to reduce costs, then the company will pay average levels of compensation. In fact, many companies fall in this category, hand to mouth. They are into some business, they want to make some profits, they are not very ambitious or they belong to an industry or a service sector which is not highly growth oriented. So they just make do with the bare minimum. So they pay average salaries, average compensations, and this practically constitutes about 60 to 80% of the companies that are into this category. We have the ones who are at the high end, who are highly competitive in their wages. They are the brands. They are the ones who are in the middle, and they are the ones who are down the unstructured or the unorganized sector, which actually does not bother about any of these things. They are not even legal entities, some of them. And even if they are legal entities, they make do by doing certain actions which are prohibited. So you find that most of the people who are working there, you'll find them in this type of organization where certain bare minimum is given, not more, not less. And it's like make do. It's like CEO be carrying on business for the purpose of it. Then we have the employee himself, who is one of the important factors of the compensation. Employee-related factors like performance, seniority, experience and potential determine an employee's compensation. How well has he performed? Does he have a seniority for which we need to increase his compensation? Does he have experience which is really evaluated to the company? Does he have the potential to grow? Does he have the creativity to grow and get himself trained? An employee's performance is rewarded with increase in the pay. Sometimes organizations pay on the basis of seniority of the employees. And this is especially true in the case of compensation paid to the organization's top management. Now the various components of wages we talk about. Wages. What are wages? Wages are basically hourly rates paid to workers. The non-permanent employees, the daily worker, the daily wage earner as we call it, he is paid wages. That terminology is wage. The rates depend upon the nature of the job, type of industry, seniority and merit, and they increase each year based on the needs of the workers. Wages are quite tricky. Wages do not have much of legal obligation with the wage earner. He is not a permanent employee. He is a person whom I am using for the purpose of getting some things done. And I want to use him for a number of days or a number of months, and then out he goes. Now with this type of thing, and he is not skilled. Now with all these factors, I am purely using his muscle. I am purely using whatever little he has to offer. And for using that, I have no emotional attachment with him. And so my compensation towards him is a bare minimum. And I try to cut down as much as possible because I am dealing with numbers. Right? Now, the increase every year is based on the needs of the workers, the capacity of the organization to pay, and also the intention to pay, I would say, prevailing economic conditions. The wages can be classified into three different categories. These are the three different terminologies we are supposed to know: minimum wage, fair wage, and living wage. Let's discuss them. Minimum wage is usually fixed by the labor laws, and it is one which provides for the basic living conditions. The minimum that we need to give. This is legally, it has changed over a period of time in terms of the number. The number of rupees that you need to pay as a minimum wage is certain amount of rupees which is fixed. So a company which is legally running its organization, they have to pay minimum that wage which is fixed. What does this minimum wage entail? It entails some basics of the person: education, medical requirements, amenities, etc. Now that is stretching it too far in terms of what they actually pay. Whatever is being paid is just the bare minimum. Now when you talk about education, the education may not be in a great school. It may be in what is considered as the most elementary school. It may not even have a roof for all we know. So when we define these things, there are certain norms. The norms themselves are not very healthy, I would call it. So the minimum wage is something that a person has to have for subsisting himself, for keeping his heart, mind and soul together. Okay. Next comes fair wages. Now fair wages are the wages that are given to the wage earner, which is comparable to what is given in the same industry. Suppose there is a construction worker in the construction industry at the site. Now that wage earner is supposed to be paid comparable to what the other construction competitors are doing. So in the same trade, there is something called a fair wage. So this fair wage will vary from trade to trade, industry to industry, depending upon the nature of the work that you are doing there. Right? It is fixed by comparison with accepted standard rates bargained by the employees. Now comes living wage. The living wage is described as a wage which enables a worker to provide for himself and his family with the basic requirements like food, clothing and shelter. It also ensures that the wage is sufficient enough for the worker to provide education to his children, medical facility and insurance to his family. Between minimum wage and living wage is slightly, it gives you more breathing space. The minimum wage is for subsistence. It's got a certain minimum comfort zone. Living wage is a little bit more. Slight difference. Okay. So living wage is what we need to aim for when it comes to a wage earner. It also ensures that the wage is sufficient enough. I've already explained that. It is fixed by considering general economic conditions of the country. So we've got to work out if a person has to live more than subsistence, what are the things that, how much of wage we need to pay him so that he is more than comfortable. We are not talking about luxury, we are talking about something little more than comfortable so that he can move around his elbow. He can be a little more, he can be a little more comfortable, right? Then there's a terminology called salary with which we are all familiar. Salary represents a monthly rate of pay paid to the employees. Every month we get our salary. They are subject to annual increments. Rates depend on nature of the jobs, type of industry, employees, experience and seniority. Salary is dependent on these factors, as we know. Next comes bonus. Bonus is usually a short-term incentive which could be paid annual. It could be paid even semi-annual based on the employee's performance. Sometimes it is paid on the achievement of the set targets. Bonus is the sharing of the profits of the company with the employees. And the employees have generated the profits. It's they who have done it. So we give them a part of the profits back to them. So we used to have bonuses of 8.33%. That is 1 month salary or 2 month salary. It could be 16.66% or it could be 20%. We used to call it. All different rates were there. And this bonus is given on the basis of the profits of the company and the targets with the individual achieves. Next comes commission. Commission is usually paid to employees in sales and marketing department as a percentage of revenue earned by them for the company. This term is used usually for sales and marketing people. So I go and sell something for the company and for number of units which I sold, I get some commission. If I'm selling something for 100 bucks, we must have agreed upon getting a commission for 5%. So I get 5 bucks or maybe 10 bucks, 10%. So that's commission. Stock options. This is a very recent development about 15-20 years back. Ever since the IT boom came in, we talk about stock options. Stock options are long-term benefits offered to executives and they are allowed to purchase certain amount of company shares at concessional rates. So you are allocated some shares which is cheaper than what is prevailing in the market. If the stock market is, the company share is quoting at 100 rupees per share in the stock market today, then if you are an employee of the company which is offering stock option, you get the same share for, let us say, 80 rupees or maybe 60 rupees. They have to decide, they'll decide the price. But there will be a catch. You have to hold it on for a certain number of years. And it is expected that after a certain number of years, this stock will start increasing in its value, in its market capitalization. So, after that 5 years or 8 years, whatever is the holding period, when you sell the stock, then you are supposed to be getting a huge amount of money. So, indirectly, the company makes you a shareholder in the company, in the organization at a reduced cost because you are an employee and you get the added benefit after 5 years or 8 years that you are getting a huge amount of money in your hand, right? This gives them a sense of ownership and an incentive to stay with the company. Next comes perquisites or perks, as we call it. Several different benefits are received by the executives in the form of perquisites or perks to make their compensation attractive and tax effective. To save on tax, you are given certain feel good things, monetary and non-monetary. Now these perks could be like housing, company housing, vehicles, servant, security personnel are provided as perquisites. In some cases, cash allowances are paid in lieu of above. In addition, leave, travel and entertainment allowances, reimbursement of medical, phone bills, electricity bills, petrol expenses, these are all given for executives. Then we, all of us are aware about the life insurance. The company insures us what is called as a group insurance, and most organizations provide life insurance plans to its employees usually on a group basis. Base premium is paid by the company, by the employer, and the employees pay for the additional cover required by them. Medical insurance. Other organizations offer their employees some types of medical or hospitalization insurance. So if you get hospitalized, the entire thing is paid by the company like a Mediclaim, right? It covers hospital rooms and board, surgery charges, home visits, medicines, etc. Then we talk about pension. It's an amount received every month by an employee after retirement or premature retirement due to disability. Once you retire, now some companies have it, many of them do not have it, pension. Now pension is the amount that you receive every month, so that you are still getting some money to take care of your personal needs. You don't get dependent on your children, right? In contributory pension plans, premiums are paid by the employer and the employee together. And non-contributory pension plans are those where premiums are paid by the employer alone. So there are two types of pension plans. One which talks about contributory pension plan, in which I pay and the company also pays, and jointly we build up the reserves for the future. And the other one, only the employer pays and I get the benefit of it at the time of after retirement. Next comes gratuity. Gratuity is a lump sum payment to an employee on retirement, and it normally varies with the number of years of service. 5 years is what is a norm in most of the companies. It could be 5 years, 6 years, 8 years also. Depends. Vacations and holidays in India, normally 28 days vacation per year is provided to employees. Again, it varies from company to company. But actual days vary from organization to organization, as I told you. Some companies insist that employees avail of the vacation each year, while others pay cash for vacation unavailed by the employees. Encashment of your vacation not taken. Sick leave. Obviously, people fall sick sometime or the other, so there is a allowance made for giving them leave in which they get paid. That's a sick leave. Sick leave provides pay when employees are out of work due to illness up to 12 days a year, a norm that has been set. Unavailed leave is normally allowed to be accumulated. In some cases, they lapse it also. It just gets vanished. Then for ladies, we have maternity leave. Most organizations provide either 90 to 180 days of maternity leave to women employees. Full salaries and benefits are paid during their absence for the above period. Today, some companies are also giving what are called as paternity leave for men who have to be with their wives immediately after the delivery. Could be a month or two or something. Right? That's given here again. Paternity leave for 3 days to male employees. It can be more than 3 days. Need not be three. It can be more than that. Negotiate. Now we talk about related reading. Negotiate your way. Negotiations form a part of everyday life, and salary negotiation is an important one in working life. You know, one negotiates only at the entry level. After you join an organization, it will be practically impossible for you to negotiate anything on which you missed out. So before you join an organization, make sure that you know the complete picture about the compensation that is being paid to you. In many organizations, they don't give you in writing. There's no fine print. And they tell you many things, that they give you reassurances. And based on the reassurances, based on the trust which they build on you, you join them. And then in many cases, the trust there's a betrayal. When the betrayal takes place, the employee gets anguished. And when he gets anguished, what happens? He stops working properly and it becomes a loss to the company and to himself. Where did this begin? It began from the way the company did not want to relate with the employee who's about to join them. Now, many companies are guilty of doing this today. See, if the organization really wants to retain people, if the organization is an organization with integrity and ethics, then they should be very clear about what is eligible and what is not eligible. Put it down in writing and give it to the employees, the prospective employees. The prospective employees in turn have to ensure that they know exactly what they are going to be getting at on hand. Now, there's one thing which I would like to just discuss. It's about this thing called C2C, cost to the company. Now, that's a new phenomenon that's coming today. So we talk about you being a cost to the company, whereas you as a human resource should be considered as an investment, not a cost. Now, the terminology itself, according to me, needs to be removed and replaced by the word investment. Human beings are investment to the companies, not cost. Now, this C2C, my dear friends, it's covering a whole lot of things, including long-term benefits, intangibles. And they factor a number of things into that and they call it a C2C. And they may offer you, let us say, a C2C of 8 lakhs annual. this 8 lakhs annual C2C may turn out to be, if you divide 8 lakhs by 12, it will come to a certain figure, right? So that certain figure, it's not actually arithmetically divided in terms of take home. Let me take 6 lakhs. Let us say 6 lakhs is your C2C. 6 lakhs C2C, if you divide by 12, it comes to something like 50,000 per month. Now that 50,000 per month, let us do some deductions. So on hand, I would be expecting 40,000. Now this 40,000 is what I would expect based on my understanding about what they have told me about C2C. Mind you, in C2C, there are many things that are not articulated and that are not clear. There are promises made sometimes. So the employee is left a little flabbergasted and he goes with an illusion that he is going to be getting annual 6 lakhs in terms of monetary value. But what really happens is, and now how does your life run? Your life is running on the take home. What is the check you are receiving at the end of the month? Now that check which you are receiving at the end of the month decides your quality of living, your standard of living as standard of living, and in turn the quality of living. My suggestion to you, to all of us, is that go and negotiate for take home. Your present take home is X. What is a take home I'm going to be getting in that company? Now take home to take home comparison seems to be very realistic, because benefits we talk about is something that will come to you eventually. But what is basic requirement? What's a basic hygiene requirement? The hygiene requirement is nothing but my take home. If I'm working in a company X today, it's, let us say my take home is 50,000 per month, and I'm going for a change, a 30% thumb rule, 30% hike thumb rule is perfectly okay. So 15 to 30%, let us say, I ask for that extra. Take home to take home, not C2C to C2C, because C2C can be quite misleading. Many of you were listening to me, maybe employers, many of you listening to me may have, maybe in HR departments of very reputed companies, and you may find this to be quite revolting what I'm talking. But the point is, my dear friends, we have to be very clear. Many a time, in spite of the best of intentions, when you hire an employee from outside on the basis of C2C, the C2C confusion has created a lot of people joining and leaving and betrayal of trust. Alternatively, let us put everything in writing, which is not done in many instances. If it's put in writing, we have a proof saying that C2C comprises these things. Now, in the absence of these two things, what happens? We have a major issue. I'm not saying C2C is wrong. Please don't take a wrong signal. C2C is excellent. C2C is about the company wanting to know how much is the investment in a particular person. I'm using the word investment. Now, when that investment is known, the company knows what's going to be the wage bill and what is the thing that I'm going to add value to this person. But in the bargain, they should ensure that by doing this, they are attracting people to retain them rather than by default making them leave the company. Right? So it's important that one has to learn to negotiate properly. Right? One needs to prepare for salary negotiation. You have to prepare. You must have a breakup. It doesn't happen just verbally. A breakup is required. And as you're talking, both of you need to calibrate, you and the employer. The first step is to self-evaluation by measuring one's contribution to the organization. What are you worth? And why are you asking for that type of a package? Is it justifiable? So justify that to yourself in the beginning before you go for the interview, before you go for the final compensation interview. Next, get ready with the answers to the questions that the boss may raise during the negotiation. Boss meaning the interviewer, the person who is going to be fixing the compensation package for you. Next, timing of the discussion is critical, and it is a good idea to seek appointment with the boss or the person who's negotiating with you for the compensation, so that you will have time to get heard. This is what we call the recency effect. You see, I've just done a great job and I go to the boss and say, boss, how about raise? So he might be in a mood to give me a raise. I would say that why should it be only after I do a good job? If the organization is really caring and they have to understand that there's an important milestone I've made for the organization, then they must anyway pay me. But human beings being human beings, this usually doesn't happen. So people have to speak for themselves. They need to negotiate. Your PPP, that is powerful past performance, counts during discussion. So avoid any personal reasons for the raise. See, when you are talking about compensation across the table to the prospective employer, it's important that you talk about performances, not personal issues. The personal issues keep coming off and on. Even during the performance appraisal, if the personal issues will come, but talk about performance. Talk about powerful performance, and that too powerful past performance, and the present potential what you have, because that is what is the main thing for which you are there. Okay? This may get you the desired pay hike, but if not, it does not. This may get you the desired pay hike, if not, it does not pay to be argumentative or aggressive. Learn to get into an assertive communication mode with the concerned person. And be assertive and say that this is what I deserve, this is what I need for these reasons. Objective reasons, not subjective. Right? Asking for a raise. How do you ask for a raise? Now, some points are given here. They are basic common sense points. Just a sensitization to know that asking for a raise is not incorrect, but how you ask is important. It's better to get support of your departmental head on your request for a raise in your salary. This is a quite challenging thing, of course. Then you have better chances when you approach your HR or CEO on the subject. We are assuming here that the departmental head is in congruence with you, and we are also assuming that the HR and the CEO are responsible. But in many instances, it is your own departmental head who may come in the way of your raise. So find your way in creating a communication bridge of trust through assertive communication, so that the HR, your immediate superior who is responsible for your raise, does it for you legitimately. Asking for a raise under the threat of resignation or refusal to take extra responsibility is strictly no-no, as this affects the employee's decorum and reduces his inclusiveness into higher roles. Unfortunately, organizations do not respond to assertiveness. They take certain people for granted, certain organizations, not all. And it has been seen historically that when a person is about to resign, a person who has worked very hard, he is about to resign, he has not been rewarded, he feels hurt, he has looked for an alternative employment, he gets a job and he comes back, and then when he offers his new appointment letter, that's the time the company suddenly awakens. Now why should it be so? There are no answers to this. And at that point of time, suddenly they offer him a package which is much more than what he could have been given had he gone through the increment. Now they are desperate to retain him. Now is this okay? It's not. Now think about it. This is something which the company needs to understand. Even the employee needs to understand. Both sides. It's not about organizations alone. Right? Asking for a raise in less than a year from the last increment may be considered greedy. I don't totally subscribe to this statement, because it's possible that you must have cut two or three more milestones in between, very critical things you would have done. So asking, it's possible you may ask for a raise. That you may get it or not get it is a separate question. But asking may not be all that bad. But ensure that you're asking for the right reasons, not for the wrong reasons. Best time to approach the subject is just after your major achievement or breakthrough, as has been recognized by the HR or the CEO or your departmental head. Request with a great humility and ask for additional growth prospects along with the money. Now this is a behavioral part of it. So when you're going and approaching for the raise, ensure that you are going with a lot of, you know, assertiveness. I wouldn't say even humility, just assert yourself. Just go and talk about the purpose for the raise, not about you and your hard-working habit or something. No. So we are coming to the final slide summary of the whole topic. Compensation is a total reward received by an employee in exchange for services performed for an organization. A sound compensation system is a mark of an organization's success and prosperity. Compensation is affected by many internal factors such as business strategy, performance appraisal, employees, and by external factors such as economic conditions, society, labor union, and labor laws. Wages, salary, bonus, pensions are a few components of the compensation package which an organization provides to its employees. With that, I conclude this module, my dear friends. Thank you very much and good luck.